Hello, Carroll County. This is Commissioner Tom Gordon of District 3. I have the podcast this week, and I have with me from the Historical Society of Carroll County, Executive Director Jason Alari. Jason, thank you for coming in today.
Thank you for the invite, Tom.
So glad to have you here. What can you, everybody listening, what kind of information? Can you give us some general background about the Historical Society?
Sure. Well, we've been around 85 years. We were founded in 1939. We are the county's historical organization in charge of promoting and advocating for countywide history. We're located in Westminster and on Main Street, county seat. We own and operate three historic buildings, what we call our historic campus. But our programming and events extend beyond just our buildings. We have approximately 40,000 collection items at the Historical Society, ranging from variety of different things, from manuscripts to furniture to small artifacts, research materials, books. And basically, our mission is to help anyone that comes into the Historical Society or contacts us online with historical research or inquiries that they have.
That's impressive. 40,000 items. You've got to have pretty much most of Carroll County, I would think. You've got to have, I would assume, paintings. You've got probably furniture, photographs. Is there any real standout pieces? I know the public's probably not really aware. I know you've got a small item that was given to Mary Shellman. I believe it was from Alexander Graham Bell.
Yeah, we have a small pin that was presented to her. And Mary Shellman, of course, was a famous local socialite in the area, but she was an advocate for women's rights. She was involved in the suffragist movement. And we have her pin, as you say, given to her by Bell, but we also have her sash, which she wore in parades. And we have a variety of different things representing all walks of life in the county. We have Civil War-related items, like you said, paintings. We have manuscripts from the Key family. So we run the gamut, really.
That's quite impressive. I'm glad to hear we have those kind of items in safekeeping in our county. So obviously this is the 85th anniversary of the Historical Society. What exciting things is occurring in the remaining months of this year for the Historical Society?
Well, some of your listeners probably were able to attend our 85th anniversary variety show in April, and that was a fun event. Later this month, we're going to be launching our new website as part of our 85th anniversary. And part of that website is the launch of our digital library and collections hub. So most of the objects that the Historical Society has are, of course, behind locked safe doors, and they're climate controlled, so on and so forth. But we're beginning to put many of those items on this new digital library and hub. So people will be able to visit the new website. They'll be able to visit that page and do a search for items, for manuscripts, and actually see them and pull them up. And in some cases, if it's like a photograph, for example, they'll be able to quickly order a print from the Historical Society where we can send you a digital copy. In some cases, if we don't have any copyright issues, you can download a PDF of a document and read it. So that's a really exciting initiative that I'm really proud of that you're going to see later this month.
I thought that was really impressive when you all sort of showcased that at the variety show and gave some examples. I think that's really just a great opportunity. I mean, you know, still people should stop in, see objects in person, but I think what a great way to actually get to see behind the curtain, so to speak, at more of the 40,000 or so items in the collection. I think that's just going to be incredible for everybody to have opportunity, both as just, you know, amateur and, you know, historical buffs, or even just people doing research. I think that's going to be incredible.
Currently, the hub has about 6,000 items on it. Now, some of those are manuscripts where there are multiple copies of, say, like a newspaper, for example. We digitized the Union Bridge Pilot newspaper. It's there in high definition quality. In fact, it's word searchable, which is pretty incredible for a newspaper. And you can download individual issues from the hub there and also do a word search of those papers. So I think it's going to be a great resource for our citizens in Carroll County.
I can't wait to see what else you all come up with when that's fully released online, especially with the newspapers. That's going to be fun to be able to go back and look at the old articles and all the information that, you know, people might not really be aware of when they think of modern newspapers.
Yep.
So one of the things the Historical Society is involved with is you're overseeing the America 250th Committee for Carroll County. Can you tell us a little bit more about, you know, what is the committee doing and what is America 250th about?
Sure. Well, thanks to the Commissioner's Office, we have passed a resolution 1217-2024, which basically assigns the Historical Society Some listeners know about the Celebrating America Committee, which is a history consortium in the county. Basically, the Historical Society and Celebrating America are the lead coordinators for Carroll 250 activities. There is a subcommittee that is leading the charge. Yesterday, we had our first kind of public forum, open session, where we invited members of the community to give feedback on any ideas that they had about 250 activities. The next meeting, it will be at the public library in Westminster on December 4th. That'll be another open session where anyone can come and lend a hand or give ideas about 250 activities. We do have the theme of Carroll Voices for the Semiquincentennial. And the whole idea is that the revolution, the American Revolution, is an ongoing idea, and that there are many different voices that come from that story that speak about democracy and citizenship and civic duty. And so we're excited about all of those ideas. Right now we're looking at a monthly speaker series where we'll have different 250 topics leading up to the anniversary year in 2026.
That sounds like a lot of fun. I'm sure you had a good turnout for that meeting yesterday. I know organizationally you've got everybody from, say, the Farm Museum, Union Mills. You've got a wide array of other regional, local historical societies. You've got, I know, a couple of the municipalities, I think, involved as well. So it's a really well-rounded group that's representing Carroll County and the county's history. So I'm looking forward to seeing what you come up with for the speaker series. That sounds like a lot of fun. Now, will you be doing those sort of like the box lunch talks, or will it be in a different venue of how you approach those?
We believe that the venue is going to change, and we'll be traveling throughout the county for these talks to give everybody a chance to participate. There on the new society website that we're launching soon, there's going to be a page dedicated to 250 activities. There's an inquiry form on that page. There's also an event submission form where any organization that has a 250 event, they can submit, and then it'll be on the society's events calendar for promotion.
No, that's great. I'm looking forward to seeing that, and I'm sure there's a lot of people will be very curious to see what comes out of the 250 committee here in Carroll County. You were talking about the speaker series, and I mentioned the box lunch talks. Could you kind of give just sort of an overview to anybody listening a little bit more about what those are and what those represent with the organization?
Sure. Every month, the Historical Society hosts what they call a BLT, or box lunch talk, held at Grace Church in Westminster. They are $3 for members, $7 for non-members. So joining the Historical Society right there is a great value if you wouldn't like to attend a lot of those talks. But the subject matter is all-encompassing. Our next talk coming up next week is about fox hunting in Carroll County. Jason Dutter will be speaking about that. That's really fascinating. But it's a whole range of different historical topics. And for folks who can't quite make it at the BLTs during the day, they're at noon, so they're at noon on Tuesdays. We do have those BLTs on our YouTube channel. We have a partnership with the Community Media Center where they record all of those talks, and so they're available online too.
That's fantastic. I mean, I know it's tricky sometimes, and you have a decent amount of the population that doesn't, unfortunately, work in Carroll. So, but that's a great way for people to still be able to watch them, or if you're unable to get there, maybe in person for other reasons. And always great to see you're working with the Community Media Center as well. This morning in Priority Carroll, I had the pleasure of sharing the video that you all produced with Target Community and Education Services regarding Danielle. Mm-hmm. I think that's just absolutely was fantastic. And I had the pleasure of meeting her recently, I guess about 2 weeks ago when I had stopped in one day. While we're kind of on that topic, why don't you kind of give everybody sort of an idea of what Danielle's doing at the Historical Society with you all, and then the relationship and the partnership with Target Community?
Yeah, it's a great partnership. So we hired Danielle. She's on staff at the Historical Society. She works 8 hours a week, part-time, as a greeter. She has Down syndrome, and she is just the light of the Historical Society. People walk in the door, they're greeted with such joy. She's very helpful, and typically people come in, they need to use the research library, they're there for a meeting to meet with me or Laura Bankert, our outreach and events director, and so she helps them find our offices, and she does some clerical work for us as well in terms of mailings and general administrative work. But we've just loved the partnership with Target, and it's really a demonstration of how organizations can work together for these amazing souls. And so we're so happy that Danielle's on board at the Historical Society.
Yeah, I had a great interaction when I met her the first day. She's just absolutely wonderful to see her. And like you said, she just lights up the room. So
yeah.
It was wonderful to interact with her. And I think it's amazing to see, like, we do so well in this county. We all work together and interact, be it individuals, organizations. So it's one of the things I think that makes us such a great place to live. Historical Society, I know, has recently formed a youth advisory committee. Sounds kind of interesting. I know sometimes, not to be stereotypical, but sometimes you hear about young people not having an interest in history. So what can you tell me about the Youth Advisory Committee?
Yeah, so this came out of our strategic action plan, which I know you're familiar with, Tom. It's our three-year strategic action plan. And in that plan, we wanted to establish a Youth Advisory Committee. We launched that about a month or two ago. It started to invite some younger people to the table. I believe we have about 10, maybe 15 individuals signed up, and they're in the age range of about 14 to 20. The premise is to just give them a forum, a seat at the table. They meet at the Historical Society to talk about historical topics, but to also create their own service projects, maybe be tied to the Historical Society or with other organizations in the community. There typically is an aspect of, there's a social aspect to the meeting where they get together for pizza or something like that. And we found that there are a lot of young people that are interested in history, but maybe they feel a little bit out of place. Maybe they're a little awkward. Maybe a lot of their peers aren't as interested in history as maybe they are. So we're giving them that avenue to meet and discuss their interests and their passion in history. They meet at the Historical Society right now, but that could change. Mm-hmm. And on, again, another plug for the website, there is a form and some more information about the Youth Advisory Committee.
I was going to ask you, how can they get involved if there's people that have an interest? So pretty much go to the website or contact the organization directly?
Yep, and there's a little waiver aspect on that form so the parents can kind of know what's going on.
Gotcha.
And sign off as well.
I mean, you and I both are big history people, so I always thought it was fascinating growing up how the mindset of so many students when it came to history was they thought it was boring or not interesting because they were memorizing, you know, just dates and facts. Whereas to me, with what you're doing over there, if it's something where they can actually be around history and it's alive and they realize that history is all around them every day. I mean, we're actually part of history, as some may not think about on a daily basis. But, you know, whether it's to be near an artifact, you know, like a George Washington inaugural button or some document of some significance to Carroll County history, it's real, it's tangible. So to me, that was always sort of the challenge in so many ways growing up, was that if you didn't experience that, it didn't really feel real. I know the school system has been doing a great job, and I know that they were on a tour, I believe, was it this past spring, I think it was?
Yep, they come every
spring.
They
visited you, and I know they visited a number of other locations, and it was a very hands-on event for the teachers and everybody from Carroll County Public School System. And I thought, just what a great way to try to infuse more of the real tangible versus it just being, you know, information in a book. And that sort of abstractness, which I think sometimes is so tough.
Yeah.
Are you all looking to do anything like the public school system directly with this? Or?
Well, we have a couple small partnerships kind of in the works with the school system. New history teachers get a complimentary membership at the Historical Society. So if you're new to the school system and you're a history teacher, we give a complimentary membership to the Historical Society, which is gives you access to our research library, ancestry.com, all that kind of stuff that we can offer. And of course, that we continue with the school tours there.
Might have a great audience right down the street from you guys, downtown near the library with the Boys and Girls Club. That might be an angle there.
Yes.
I don't know.
We want to do more with them for sure.
Definitely would be another great group to captive audience there on the weekdays. And I know it's incredible how much has kind of come out of the Historical Society of late in such a pretty quick amount of time. I mean, now you've got a featured book of the week that you're doing, which I've been intrigued at some of the picks, not that I'm intrigued good or bad, just interested to see what's kind of being thought up and kind of put out in front of people. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, Laura Banker, our outreach and events director, runs that program. To be honest, I'm not even sure what the current book of the week is now.
I'm not sure this week.
But it's just, again, try to keep things fresh and moving.
Sure.
Because that is a critique of historical societies in general and sometimes museums, is that they're kind of stale and they move too slowly and they're not bringing out fresh ideas or even exhibiting things often in a new way. So we're trying to do things differently there and move things a little bit more quickly for the public.
No, absolutely. Now, with the featured book of the week, is that something that they can purchase directly through the Historical Society typically, or how does that work?
Well, typically you had to visit the Historical Society and pick it up at the bookshop, mm-hmm. which is fine, and we love to see you. The new site will have a featured book page, okay. and that'll change every week, and it'll be a one-click shipping and handling included price where we can ship it, you know, anywhere. But we've also found that kind of decluttering our online gift shop is the way to go, and focusing on that featured book is a little bit more pragmatic and organized.
Oh, no, I understand it. I was just recently in Philadelphia, was at the Franklin Institute, and was checking out their gift shop, and it was quite impressive, but then it also got very eclectic and cluttered, to say mm-hmm. the least. So
that happens.
It was kind of all over the place at one point.
Yeah.
But, it'll definitely be interesting to see what books you all come up with in the coming months. So, you know, for the general public, obviously, what's the best way they can get involved? I mean, obviously, they can get involved and come to the box lunch talks, or they can come in for just a typical tour. You obviously have, you've got another event coming up soon. Was it Bourbon and Bocce?
Yeah, coming up this Sunday. BBB.
Yep.
Bluegrass, Bourbon, and Bocce. It's a fun event. Tickets are still available. You can call the Historical Society if you'd like to snag a ticket. But come by, visit us, say hi to Danielle.
Yep.
Of course, email, telephone is great. And some listeners might not know this, but the Historical Society tours are now free to the public. So you can come in, see the exhibits, see the Shellman House at no cost. This is another trend that we're seeing more and more now with historical societies and museums, especially the small to mid-size organizations. So we just want to remove those barriers for people.
It makes perfect sense because you want to have your community having access.
Yeah.
You want them to have interest in walking that door. So now I totally get it. Real quick, jumping back to the collection. So obviously you have a lot of things that are, you know, given through bequests or donated various times. What's the easiest way for somebody to reach out if they think they have something of interest? Maybe I'll even say this, what kind of things does the Historical Society want for their collection? Because, you know, there's a lot of people that have things at home. It might be something from, you know, their parents, their grandparents, or whatever time period. What's sort of the parameters of how that works?
Yeah, so I think the best thing to do is just reach out to us and have a chat with us. Sometimes there are items that were made or used in Carroll County that fit in the collection really well. But even if that's not the case, we have the resources to put people in touch with fellow historical societies or museums all throughout the country. And maybe there's a more suitable home for things at a different museum, and that's great. As much as we can, we try to keep things in Carroll County, especially if they're related to our history. We don't want those going anywhere. So I would say first thing is definitely just call us, email us. You can email our collections manager, Stephanie Eckert, if you have any questions. And we do have on the new site, there'll be a form where you can fill in a little bit of information about an object that you have. And then you can, there's some check boxes. Who used this or was it made here? And you can check those mm-hmm. boxes and that form comes to us and then we can reach out to you and provide some guidance.
Well, I can't wait to see this new website. I am excited to say the least. I was impressed when we saw the preview a few months back. Clearly, no one sleeps at the Historical Society because you guys seem like you're working 24/7. Is there anything else you'd like to tell us today about the current goings on at the Historical Society?
I just want to just thank, you know, our members, and I want to thank our donors and everybody in the community for supporting us, and also the county and the commissioner's office. You know, the society receives a grant from the commissioners to help us out, and it is a big help. We have a relatively small budget, but this community cares about its history. It truly does, and it shows up in the form of volunteerism, in donations, and membership, and I just want to send a big thanks out to everyone for that.
I think that's the best thing we can leave this on today. And thank you so much for coming in, Jason. And thank you, everybody, for listening, and have a great day.